Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I think the vibe is good today, Waddle. On this Monday, the sun's out. It was a beautiful weekend. And even though there are several parts of this country doing an awful job of wearing the mask and socially distancing themselves and testing is not good in California and Florida, Texas.
California just shut down movies, indoor
restaurants,
eating,
right?
And indoor bars.
Yeah. The news is good. So we had Jesse on earlier, and he described to us that when six tests are held back like they were for the Cubs today and David Ross missed the workout just to be safe, that it's for a reason that in the batch of tests, and that would include more than the six of the Cubs, that there are others from other teams. And we don't have all the particulars on how and why they mix them in with other teams. But it's because there is concern over someone testing positive in a bigger sample size than the six. Gordon Whitmire has on his page, and he has written a story in NBC Sports Chicago, that the Cubs have survived the coronavirus scare as manager David Ross and players test negative.
Yes.
So Ross and five other tier one individuals, a player that includes players and coaches who sat out, none of them tested positive. So the Cubs, so far, since they've been together now, and this is, what, well over a week, right? It's been almost, what, 10 days or something like that?
I think so.
The Cubs have not had a positive test yet.
That's positive in itself.
That is outstanding news. The NBA today, from the bubble, they released today the news that of 322 people who were being tested before entering the bubble, the results were that only two of them tested positive, and that the two were never allowed inside the bubble. So they're off to a great start there.
Now, two guys have broken quarantine and now have to sit out for a while.
I mean, I like that. I mean, look, I don't want people circumventing the rules. This is big business, like you said. Follow the dollars, not just for management. The players should take this the same exact way. I know we all have needs. I know we all have wants. But we have all sacrificed stuff during the pandemic. So this is their livelihoods, and they're playing for a title here.
Do you know, have you seen how much the bubble, the NBA bubble, will ultimately cost, the projection? Take
it's
a
like
guess.
Is it like $1 billion?
No.
$250 million?
Nope.
$150
million? $150 million is what I saw. Is that the bubble cost is going to be 100. Remember, it's not an entire season, and it's not every team. So, and some of the teams will leave after a period of time, but their estimation, the latest estimation I saw, is that this is a $150 million project. That's why, and again, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but that's why, like, it's very unlikely that high school football is going to happen, because the high schools don't have the resources to test in the manner that they need to test.
Yes, exactly. Right. And these guys are getting tested here all the time.
Right.
And, like, Jesse was texting us. I don't know if you agreed with me or not, because the text chain then ended. Jesse thought that if one of the people tested positive from the Cubs, that everyone on the Cubs would be in trouble. Now, I understand that everyone's exposed, but the Cubs are doing a good job, and all Major League Baseball are distancing, and they're using masks. Just because one tests positive doesn't mean that everyone would test positive. Would
right.
you agree?
I mean, you may infect a couple guys, three guys, five guys, one guy, no guys. I don't think that you'd run through the whole however many people are there. I mean,
that's the point in testing here every other day, because people are going to run into other things that they're getting exposed to away from Wrigley. And when they start traveling, it will bring a whole new level of it. But that way you can isolate as soon as you know someone's positive, and it shouldn't affect the whole team if you're using the right protocols.
Well, and that's the one thing that's working in baseball's favor, because of the way it's played. They can, I mean, I don't, like, look, we're all learning as we go along, but it's feasible because of the lack of interaction in baseball that you could have somebody who tests negative but is a carrier, plays in a game, and then you find out the next day that they actually are positive, where you can see a scenario where baseball can play and not have everyone infected. Whereas, like, if you're basketball and hockey, it's harder to envision you playing those sports and not infecting people who are on the ice or on the court with you.
You yeah. can't be a carrier, though, and infect, or I mean, and test negative, can you?
Yes, you can.
You can.
Because, because of the incubation period, that's why it's so important.
That's why you have to quarantine for 14 days.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's why it's so important that they get the test, the results back in a timely manner, because, you know, a test that's 4 or 5 days old is almost worthless in a lot of ways. Because you could
that's
be.
That's why they have to do it every 2 days.
Exactly. That's why it's imperative they get the results back quickly.
Hey, guys. This is from Houston Astros MLB reporter Brian McTaggart. Astros GM James Click just said that the team that has the fewest cases of coronavirus in the regular season is going to win the championship.
Yeah, look, it could be survival of the fittest.
Absolutely.
I mean, who knows?
Did he release that statement with sounds of garbage can lids being banged in the background?
Right. How are they cheating the system in
that? I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the case. I mean, like, that's easy to say. That's kind of like, I mean, listen, I think the overall point is a team that is able to stay dedicated and everyone is taking this seriously has got a better chance. But you can't tell me. You may have a team that has more positive tests.
Well,
that
look,
eventually
in any season, a lot of the success is dictated due to lack
health.
Of injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily the team that has the fewest number of positive coronavirus tests is automatically going to win. I don't buy that. That's
See,
just...
but if you do test positive, remember, you're out for a minimum of, what, 2 weeks in a 60-game schedule?
I think so.
So you're already out 25% of the season if all goes well? So, I mean, I know that it's not everything, but I think it's definitely going to play a role.
Well, yes. Again, I think that the teams that do a better job at, you know, being more disciplined than others have a better chance. I'm just saying to you, when a guy steps to the podium and says that, there's some conjecture with it, and, you know, I understand what he's saying, but I don't necessarily believe that that's ultimately going to be the case.
Do you know what this reminds me of, Waddle? This reminds me of when I would, like, I was single till I was 40. So you would never, like, you'd meet a girl, you know, the honeymoon stage, everything's good. You go by a couple, but you're still not sure. You know, you're not sure. You know something could go wrong. You may stick your foot in your mouth. There may be something you don't know about her. And, you know, you just never want to count on anything in those first couple of weeks while you're dating to make big plans. And that's
so what you're saying is everyone should be tested every 2 days when they're dating?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that I wouldn't get too excited about a relationship till we got through the first several weeks and there were no blips. And so I've been on an edge where I haven't counted my chickens regarding sports. Chicken! Thank you, Mellor.
Have you been counting those?
And so, like, I've not wanted to dream about sports yet because I don't know what's behind the next, you know, hidden spot. You know, is there something lurking out there? But as these days continue to go by, as we continue to get good reports, I'm not screwing this relationship up, that maybe we can get somewhere. That's how I'm starting to get excited about the baseball season. That we're within, what is it?
11 days.
11 days for Cubs and Sox.
Yeah, I feel good about it, too. I feel good that you're going to have the start of the season.
Like, I feel like we could, are we getting to the point where we could just start talking baseball? And I mean, maybe it's always going to be talking about testing. We're always going to go through, like, a roll call of that throughout sports during the show while the pandemic's going on. But a lot of this still hasn't been about, hey, what does a DH mean for the Cubs? Hey, do the Cubs, are they deep enough in the bullpen? Are the White Sox too young or young and dumb? Is that something good in this short period of time? You know, can Tim Anderson repeat what he's doing? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think what you're going to have to do is keep your head on a swivel and be agile as a sports fan right now. And don't sink your feet like in stone in anything. Don't put your feet in cement right now and take a stand because things are going to change quickly. But I'm with you. I share your optimism, at least for the start. I don't know if the season will go smoothly or be completed, but I feel pretty good about things getting started on whatever date it is, 11 days from now. Look, the MLS is playing. Okay, they're in the bubble. There have been a couple of teams that had to bow out.
Right, did they have a cancellation over the weekend too?
They had one game that I think that they had to scrap, yes.
Yeah.
But they're playing. Like, and the point is it ain't perfect. And I would be shocked if it goes in a perfect manner for the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL. But the MLS and golf and what else am I missing? That's probably it. They're finding a way to kind of make it work. Will it last? Don't know. But I give them all credit for having a plan and being, you know, adapting to what they're facing. And listen, I know I'm seeing soccer and I'm seeing golf right now, and I'm expecting to see basketball and baseball soon as well.
Right. You know, it's just, for me, it's been a mind, you know what? It's been a mind F where you turn on the TV and you hear about all these infections all across the country and the highest testing, positive testing rate that we've had since this thing started back in March.
I'll turn your TV off.
Well, I know, but then so like you're like, okay, is this not going to happen? Is this really just a lost cause? And then you keep on seeing that there's some good news coming out of this. The day goes by. Nobody positive. The NBA, they're doing the right thing so far. It's very early. Kawhi has entered the bubble, though. And the two people out of 322 tested positive. Yeah. That's great. So it's like you try and draw some positivity on this. But we're now getting to a point in baseball where they've done this almost on a daily basis for several days. And Theo told us about this on Friday, that he believes that the accuracy in this testing and the way they have it is that he's very optimistic regarding.
Did you see Michigan State, I believe, was reported earlier today. All the testing that they did, I think it was their football team, all the tests came back negative. There have been moments, you know, I guess there have been others where everyone had to shut some things down or teams had to shut some, schools had to shut some things down. But there have been other stories, too, where teams have come through their testing clean. So, look, college football is an entirely different animal to me. I think I pushed them over to the side over here. I don't feel as good about that.
Right. I don't think they have much of a shot.
I'd put a good, you know what, because I'm in a gambling mood, I'd put a couple of hundos down on the NFL season being moved back. I'd make a parlay bet. I'll make a $200 parlay bet that there will be no preseason games and the NFL will scooch everything back.
Will they finish?
I'm not willing to go there yet.
Yeah, it's too early.
Will they finish?
Too long of a season.
Yeah, I would put some money on them finishing, but I don't know that I'd put money down on a 16-game schedule.
Okay.
You may get to a point where they got to hit the pause button for 2 weeks and they end up only playing 14 games or 12 games. But at that point, I think we'll all take whatever we can get, won't we?
Yes. And so far, again, like in the parts where we talk about, whether it's the Hawks returning today, whether it's a baseball and the Cubs and the Sox, or it's the NBA bubble, so far, the news has been good.
Yeah.
If we want sports, and we could get them back. In
Fight Island went off as planned on Saturday, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. All right, and coming up next, life in the NBA bubble. It ain't that bad. And even if you do think it is bad, there's a former NBA player who says you should shut up. We'll play that. And Pat Boyle talks Hawks at 5:30. This portion of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Experts. If you're like most folks, probably spent a lot of time in your home over these last couple of months, maybe you're thinking it's time for a change. You got to check out Ryan Kelly, my guy, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so I've enjoyed watching the bubble fun. so far. I told you about a Twitter handle that covers it all. It's somebody inside the bubble who's remaining anonymous, maybe a player. It's at NBA Bubble Life. And they're getting ready for the restart of the NBA season.
What is the schedule? Lay out the schedule for me, will you,
so
please?
So July 30th, let's see here, is the return. It's the
that is Thursday.
Of the restart, yeah.
That's 2 weeks from this Thursday.
What is that, guys? There's two games that day, I want to say?
Yes, they start the first day with the two games.
And it's Lakers-Clippers? Is that one of the
first? That's the nightcap, and then the Pelicans and Zion start things off in the first game.
It's going to be on. It's going to be lit. It's going to be
lit. If this does happen, Waddle, there's going to be games all day, like March Madness. I mean, we're going to get hockey in the afternoon. I think the start times would be around 1 Chicago time. There's going to be a hockey game on in the afternoon. There's going to be NBA games on in the afternoon. If this works, it will be lots of
glorious
games coming quickly at us. Yeah. Yes.
A lot of gambling opportunities if you're so inclined.
Dude, you're all over soccer. Imagine what you're going to be doing with
NBA won twice games. Again today. We're playing the under in tonight's MLS first game.
Waddle's hot, so I would take that. What, so
yeah,
which
I
game
would.
Is
I,
that?
I think it's. I think Los Angeles is playing. Los Angeles and Houston. The total is 3 goals, so you push on 3 and playing the under. They just look a little sloppy
under.
Right now.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. I know Big Cat says never play the, you know, playing under is,
that it's
is
not
no
fun.
Fun.
To root for. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Abdallah and I have played nothing but overs to this point, so we're testing our good fortune and the heater that we're on, but we're going oppo for tonight's game.
Just to get back to the schedule here really quick, the games are back the 30th. The play-in tournament is August 15th and 16th, and then the first round of the postseason will begin August 17th. So that's what we've got in the NBA.
Let's do this.
And Jay Williams was on. I think he did this originally on Instagram. I think that's where it.
Yes, that's where it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he had a message over the weekend because the one thing initially when they first got to the bubble, Rondo was complaining about his room. Didn't LeBron say that he felt like he was going to prison or something like that? Like, I get it. It's you got to leave your family. This isn't what you're used to doing, but we're all making sacrifices, and this is what Jay Will had to say to his peers in the NBA.
NBA players cannot be tone deaf. My NBA brothers, you cannot be tone deaf right now in this current environment. We all know the life that NBA players live. You are blessed. Get a chance to be in private planes. You get a chance to have millions of dollars in your bank account. You live a different level of life. But that is drastically different than what real, everyday working Americans are going through right now. Now, you're in a billion-dollar bubble. If you want to complain about the anxieties you have from COVID-related issues, I get it. Complain about that. We all have the right to complain about that. But when I hear NBA guys complaining about living facilities, food that they have being delivered to them, it is tone deaf. It is tone deaf. I want you to think about people who are everyday working people who are making minimum wage, trying to make ends meet, that are going to factories, that are going to really harsh working environments, where if anything, maybe their employers are doing less to ensure their safety because they're trying to increase the bottom line. They're trying to earn and make money back from all the money that they have lost through the times that a lot of these states individually governed have been dealing with this issue. So when I see guys that are going into a billion dollar bubble, and are getting food delivered to them, that have beds to sleep in, you can't complain about that. Not while you're making millions of dollars, not while your employer is going through drastic measures to protect you while they're still paying you. When that's not the case for everyday, real working Americans. That bothers me. That bothers me. Now, I don't know if individual teams and their PRs, their PR team, public relations teams are working with these guys, but they have to. The league has to. Because some of this stuff just leaking out and guys just having a lot of free time and just posting this stuff, it's not the right look for the league right now. Not while they're trying to focus on finishing the season and allowing a lot of other players to earn the amount of money that they're able to earn. It's tone deaf.
What do you think, Waddle?
I think it is. If I haven't seen that in mass quantity. I'm sure there have been a couple of instances. I think that, you know, obviously there was what we talked about last week when they showed the box lunch that was there. I guess when everyone's there now, the chefs come in. I agree, it is tone deaf, but I haven't seen a ton of stuff that I think has looked objectionable at this point. Have you?
Yeah, I have. I mean, look, I think, yeah, like what I mentioned with Rondo, what I mentioned with J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith wrote a whole
thing. What did he say?
I think J.R. Smith did a whole thing. Like, someone actually had to come to him and say, would you stop? Like, J.R. Smith wasn't even on a roster for the last year. And then they finally picked him up in the Lakers, and he was complaining about everything in the bubble and in his room.
And yeah, then, I mean, it sounds like it's a handful of guys, doesn't it? I mean, other guys are, like, popping beers and
right.
And showing you, Pat Bev is showing you his T-shirt stacks, and yeah. Guys are talking about their video games. I feel like it's, for the most part, it sounds like, it, at least at the beginning, that the majority of the guys seem to be handling it pretty okay.
I think if they're safe, if they keep it safe and they go by the protocols, they could have some of the coolest experiences they've ever had. Mm. When have you ever been together as a league in the same place for this long? You go into a city and you leave a city. You play a team and you leave. Now everyone's together in like this same home base, and like it's just a basketball. And you could go to some of the games that your opponents are playing.
You still think it's banner day camp, don't you?
Where I still think for I don't think it's terrible. I don't. I get it. I know it's not perfect, but like J. Will said, I'm pro player getting their money. But now that when you get their money and you agree to go, stop complaining about it.
That's yeah, the big. I mean, if there is going to be complaining, it's just getting started. I mean, they've been there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, if they're prone to complain, I would think that the complaining will begin at a later time. I've seen guys like, did I see Alvin Gentry playing golf? I mean, guys have got, you know.
Yes, fishing and golfing and yeah, bags.
As usual, the few that are sounding off are the ones that get all the attention. But I would bet you it's a handful of people that are making the most noise, and for the most part, guys are handling it okay at this point.
So there's a shotgun challenge. I think it was started by J.J. Redick. He was on a golf course, and he said, like, tomorrow I would shotgun a beer. So then Myers Leonard, who went to Illinois, was talking about it. Play the first bite, Meller, where over the weekend he was just talking about securing the beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have great news. I just spoke with the Disney concierge team. They found me 12-ounce cans of Coors Light, so we'll see if the retweets happen or not, but let me tell you something. That shotgun, easy money.
So see, that doesn't sound like a guy bitching about being there.
No, that make the best of it, right? You went to training camp, and you were in Platteville, Wisconsin. You made the best of it. You have probably some of the best memories from that time ever.
I do. Yeah, some of them good, some of them bad, but a lot of memories for sure.
So then he secured the Coors Light, just like you would, Waddle. You did not shotgun a beer for us today because you had no cans in the house.
No, but I will at some point.
So he got the can, and this was Myers Leonard doing it Illinois style, ILL.
NBA bubble life, and just so I have proof that this is an incredibly full beer, you can see that there. It's a 12-ounce Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Cheers, everybody.
I think J.J. Redick let it go down faster.
I don't know. I thought a lot of people thought Myers Leonard
really?
Went pretty quick. Yeah.
I wonder if being 7 foot tall, isn't he 7 foot tall?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Helps with your consumption of a shotgunned beer.
I would love to get him on.
I guess it depends on if you have a long torso or long legs.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how your height would affect your ability.
I think the longer the torso, the quicker you would be able to get it down, no?
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, is that are the competitive eaters tall?
I don't think Joey Chestnut is exceptionally tall. I think, is he 6 foot?
But then I'm just thinking about more about drinking.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder. I just don't. I don't know if being taller helps you do a shotgun faster. I don't know if there's any connection between height and the ability to shotgun a beer.
All right, so that's from the NBA bubble. So good news today all the way around. The Hawks are back, but they may get some bad news about who will be in their net. Pat Boyle will be talking about that coming up next.
Yeah.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. When some shows talk hockey, they like to break down power plays. Other shows might dissect zone entries and board battles or maybe the lack of a neck front presence.
Hey, listen, buddy, just keep stopping the puck and that's all we care about, right?
Not on Waddle and Sylvie.
But in the sport, can't somebody grab, because the defensemen have longer sticks, right?
If you want to talk hockey with Waddle and Sylvie, you better have a PhD in pucks.
Isn't that true? I thought that was
I don't
case.
Know that. I don't Mellor's even know that.
I thought that used to be the case.
Because on the Waddle and Sylvie show, they puck you like you've never been pucked before.
Can't somebody who's normally not a defenseman, can he play that position in a pinch?
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, they bring the lumber.
And didn't they say that it's really tough to skate backwards?
Yeah, you like getting pucked like that.
You may be right, but I don't know.
The defenseman's stick was longer than...
I didn't grow up playing hockey.
That's how we talk hockey. I'm sorry.
There are no dumb hockey questions.
Puck me?
Many people, still the basics, aren't known. I don't even know if that's a basic question.
No, puck you.
That's hockey, baby!
When Waddle and Sylvie puck you, you know there's going to be some screaming.
Not going to slip one past the goalie?
Watch your five hole.
I got the Vezina trophy working. I do have the right trophy, don't I?
I don't know.
Nobody's pulling the goalie when Waddle and Sylvie puck you.
I would think if you're doing a lot more poke checking.
Hockey talk.
Wouldn't you want your stick a little longer?
The only way Waddle and Sylvie know how.
I'm on the Mod Squad hockey chat board right now.
Hard and in your face.
Mr. Dangles, that's his handle, says many defensemen use longer sticks for obvious reasons.
On ESPN 1000.
Now it's just like throwing me to sights I don't think I'm allowed to be on. Bad move, Waddle.
And ESPN Chicago.
Got the stick.
See, it's done. It's answered.
Oh, that's an oldie, but a goodie. Oh, yeah. It's buddies.
Listen, when we talk hockey, my man.
We got our sweaters on.
Yeah.
The Hawks are back in town.
I actually laced up the skates at the last break.
Nice. Very good. They're going to go to Edmonton eventually, take on the Oilers. But
Edmonton at in Canada?
Edmonton, I would guess, is Western Canada.
That's what I was going to say, but I don't know. And at the age of 53, maybe that's not a good thing.
Yes, it is in the western part of Canada.
There you go.
Well done, Sylvie.
Yes. Like, Calgary's way west, right? Vancouver's way west.
Vancouver's, like, above our, like, western states.
Right.
Like
Toronto
Washington
east,
up there,
Montreal
right?
east.
You know, they do a lot of movie shoots and Hollywood stuff in Vancouver because it looks, in some ways, like Los Angeles.
And it's cheaper tax breaks, yes.
Yes, right. They do that with Toronto and Chicago a lot. All right, that's enough nonsense. Let's bring in Good Time Patty Boyle, NBC Sports Chicago. He does great work, and he is the man that we lean on when it comes to the Blackhawks. What's going on, Pat?
Oh, wow. I mean, the knowledge you guys are bringing out here on the hockey front of where Edmonton is, where some of these movies are shot in Vancouver, it just puts to shame the long sticks of defenseman talk and skating backwards is hard. It's impressive.
Pat, is this like, would this be the correct correlation? Like when you're asked to come in and read for your child's sixth grade class? Like as a father, hey, it's my time to read to the class this week. I'll be there at noon. Is this kind of like a similar experience for you?
Somewhat, yeah. But like okay. I sometimes when I come on, I feel like you guys want to talk about anything but. You know,
no.
You want to get to the next dad, you know? Like, no, this Joey's dad's really cool. He's a surgeon. No, we're going to talk some hockey.
So we were reading and detailing a lot about Corey Crawford, and Stan Bowman talked about him today. What's the situation with Corey Crawford?
You know, he ruined my hockey buzz. I'm there at Fifth Third Arena getting ready to see the Hawks back on the ice first time since mid-March as a team, just 13 days away from leaving for Edmonton. And the one player, and that's Patrick Kane included, that you could ill afford to not have a part of the equation and pull off the upset against Edmonton is Corey Crawford. So it was a bit of a bummer to not see him out there. And then we hear the, you know, he was unfit to play, which is, now that's the standard policy that the NHL is using. They're prohibiting teams from releasing medical information during, you know, the phase three, the training camp, and the phase four return to play. So that is what they've come up with in this COVID-19 situation. What I do know about Corey is back in late April, his wife had their second child. He was in Chicago, I've been told, for the majority of the pause. He was here. Now, he was not working out with the guys over the last 2 weeks when phase two started at Fifth Third Arena, which seems a little odd. If you would think that a goalie who wants to see, you know, live shots coming at him for the first time in a few months, he'd get his opportunity to go work out with some of his teammates to get into game shape. And, you know, he was not a part of the equation the last 2 weeks. So then we get that news today, and the NHL had their list of opt-outs, the guys that don't want to participate for whatever reason. That came out late this afternoon. Corey was not on that list. So, you know, it leads you to speculate, you know, why he's on this list. The way Colleton was talking today in our Zoom media session, it sounded like they're preparing to go forward without him, and that means they've got three guys that are vying for this spot, and none of them have ever played in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if not Crawford, then who would you expect to be between the pipes?
I think it'll come down to Colin Delia, who spent last year in Rockford. He was with the team 2 years ago. He was the AHL, one of the AHL's best goalies the second half of the season. Malcolm Subban, PK Subban's brother, who they picked up in the Robin Leonard trade with Vegas. I think it'll come down to Subban and Colin Delia, and we'll see how they go over the next 2 weeks before they leave for Edmonton to see who has the upper hand. But, you know, this was tough to hear. I mean, Corey Crawford had a tremendous season. He's got, 87 games of playoff experience, and you figured if they're going to pull off the upset against McDavid and Draisaitl and the high-octane Oilers, you're going to have a proven netminder, and right now that's in limbo.
I mean, PB, isn't that the formula usually that when a lot of these eight seeds surprise and they win it all, that it's usually behind a goaltender that gets hot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to have a hot goaltender, but the problem with this is who's coming in hot when you've got 2 weeks of training camp, right? And then they drop the puck in Toronto and Edmonton. So no team is really coming in with the opportunity of having somebody, you know, ready to go, playoff, stand on your head type of performances. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Jordan Binnington was the rookie phenom that carried St. Louis to the Cup last year, and we're going to see basically three guys without any Stanley Cup playoff experience battle it out to see if they can replace Corey Crawford, if indeed Corey is out. You know, Stan Bowman spoke a little bit later on, a little cryptic on what they can say and what they can't say. They're hoping that he will be able to return, but they're preparing to, you know, look at the players they currently have in their roster and go forward with them. So, tough news right now for the Hawks.
With Crawford up in the air, his status up in the air, Pat, is it fair to suggest that, as tough as it may sound, maybe it's not tough to hear, that the Hawks would be better off getting bounced early and having a 12.5% chance at the number one pick?
That's the silver lining. That's the silver lining, Tommy. I think they definitely would like to see some players on their team that have not had experience in high-leverage situations get that, and see if they're the type of players that they need to, you know, commit to their long-term plan. So ultimately, and Stan said it today, they're here to win. They want to win. But the silver lining is if they get bounced, they, along with the other seven teams, have a 12.5% chance of landing a player that is everyone expects to come into the league and be, I don't know if generational would be an overstatement, but let's just say an all-star in Alex Lafreniere. So that would be the silver lining if they got bounced, but we'll see what happens.
PB, in big picture terms, where are the Hawks as far as hockey ops are concerned? They're looking for that president to replace John McDonough. So when Stan speaks today, like, do you think he's still there for the long term, or are things still very unsettled?
Things are unsettled on the hockey ops side. They made a lot of changes around July 1st because that's when the contracts of those employees were up. So they let go, I think, 7 or 8 people whose contracts were expiring in July 1st, and they restructured some of the hockey ops side. Norm McIver, the assistant GM, they kind of changed his role a little bit and has him have more into the scouting side of things, and have promoted some other people in other areas to assistant general manager. And the Hawks, while they across the league had more personnel in hockey ops than most teams, they only had one assistant GM, where a lot of teams have 2 and 3, dividing up those responsibilities. So they kind of went that route. But to answer your question, I think it's still unclear, you know, exactly what role Stan will have when the season finally comes to an end. They'll have a quick turnaround for the draft, and then I think you're going to see some swift and rapid change announcements of, you know, who the head of business ops is at, you know, for the Blackhawks, and you know, who's going to be the new man in charge as far as the hockey ops side as well. It could be Stan, and you could see these guys change titles and move to different parts of the organization. That's still a bit unclear right now.
PB, collectively, do most people you talk to think that the NHL is going to be able to pull this off?
I think so. I mean, I think we all go through it every day. Doesn't matter what sport it is. You know, you hear news about the Cubs or what's going on with the White Sox, and how is it going to be in Orlando in that bubble. I thought that the two locations they picked were, you know, probably the best two spots or the most likely to see this succeed in Edmonton and Toronto, where like a week ago in Toronto, they had a report that it's the first time since March that they had no COVID-19 patients in intensive care. But in the same breath last week, there was an Edmonton hospital, Ms. Recordia, that had to shut down because of a COVID-19 outbreak, and had a few deaths and had several frontline workers become infected. Again, that was just an isolated incident at one hospital, but, you know, that is in Edmonton. So, you know, they're not immune to the situation either. And I think that the biggest part of this equation is the next 2 weeks. There's 13 days between now and when the Blackhawks head to their pseudo bubble in Edmonton. This is where, you know, for the next 2 weeks outside of that Fifth Third Arena, where are you going? How are you comporting yourself? That's probably the more unsure part of this process. I think once we get to these two different locations for the NHL, that's probably going to be the safest spot that any of these athletes can be in.
Great.
PB, great stuff as always. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr.
All right,
Dangles.
Take care, boys.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, programming announcement, hockey show returns to ESPN 1000 July 25th.
Hell yes.
Special guest, Tom Waddle for show.
Yeah, absolutely. Putting the biscuit in the basket for you guys.
Nothing's a return to hockey more than Waddle as a guest on the hockey show.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Pat. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty.
See you guys.
All right. We got news coming up here. We're going to talk to Hoodie with the baseball show, but I got a couple of football nuggets for you. First of all, there's a current NFL player that you know well that was signed to a broadcasting deal, even though he's an active player. And Mongo makes the first bet in Indiana at a specific casino. We'll tell you what that bet is. All that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I'd like to thank you for being my friend.
It's always, right?
Yeah.
How about some broadcast news from Andrew?
I sent you guys that. It's funny you said that because I sent you guys that text from a tweet right as you said it.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not see this earlier. Then I was scrolling and then saw it late. So our good friend Greg Olson, the former Bear, remember him? He signed with the Seattle Seahawks in the offseason.
Right.
According to Marchand in the New York Post, Fox continued to approach him to join the Fox broadcast team when his career ended, a lot like what Drew Brees has done with NBC. So now, after this season, Greg Olson will join Fox broadcasting Sunday games in the number two booth, and they will also, even if, say, Olson is a really good year with Seattle and plays another year after this year, according to this story, Fox will wait for Greg Olson.
Who's the number two play-by-play guy? Is it Burkhart?
It is. It will be with Kevin Burkhart.
Okay.
And remember, Davis left the network. He left Fox.
Yes, Charles Davis did leave.
So that opened up the number two.
Did he go to CBS? Is that where Charles went?
I believe so. I'm not positive, though.
Yeah.
Moose Johnston will be in this number two booth for the time being, but they've let him know that it's Greg Olson's job. And also today, in a somewhat football-related nugget, Steve Mongo McMichael making the first wager in the Four Winds Casino sports book, and he put $20 down on the Bears to win the Super Bowl.
Nice. What were the odds?
1,000 to 1. No, I don't know what they are. What they were? What were the Bears are where around like 31 to 1, 40 to 1?
40. My guess would be 40.
Yeah. You know, some people are ripping them for making the bet in general. Other people are ripping them for only having $20 down on them.
What? So. Yeah, just somebody's got to rip somebody, right?
Right. Isn't that what it is? On Twitter, you got to rip away. Yeah.
Well, why not a bigger bet? Why are you picking the Bears? Shut up!
Hoodie is coming up here in a few minutes. The baseball show, great addition to the lineup right here every day at 6 o'clock. Hoodie, what's on your mind today, my man?
Well, what's on my mind is Jay Cutler not getting another bite of the apple next to Burkhart. I mean, what happened to that? It was short-lived, huh?
Hoodie, did you hear what we were selling? We were selling Kyle Long, Jay Cutler in a booth with Adam Amin.
Oh, wow.
How great would that be?
That would be like the third team or something.
Yeah,
it'd be fun, right? What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I mean, it's just I would love that. By the way, before we go, I just want to make sure that I wish you, Sylvie, a happy anniversary. It's a big day today.
What our is anniversary. It? The anniversary of what? What did I miss today?
Our anniversary. Oh, I guess you didn't know that. The anniversary of Aloy Jimenez coming to the White Sox.
Oh,
no.
Thanks, Cubs!
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Stop dancing around the table, Freddy.
So there you go. Jimenez. coming over to the White Sox. You do recall that trade. That was happened in 2017. You recall this, do you not?
That was worthy of a bat flip on the South Side, wasn't it, Sully?
It's still a trade that on paper in 17 made all the sense in the world. Here's Quintana pitching some of his best baseball of his career. He's got a team-friendly deal, makes for some payroll flexibility, controlled for a few years.
Why don't we give up a young future Hall of Famer for him? Yay!
And the Cubs have a bunch of outfielders miss anyway. So why not give up Cease?
That's right. Wasn't that we were all spitting the company line at that point, weren't we, about that? Well, they got too many players and not enough spots in that outfield out
Schwarbers
there.
Schwarbers can't miss now. Hap's coming soon. You know,
Almora was a former first-round pick.
Yeah, Brian could be a left fielder, too.
But you don't need a Lloyd, huh? We haven't seen the best of him just as of yet. He is going to be tremendous. And nothing against Quintana, just, you know, keep him away from the dishes.
Gosh,
the jokes are flying today. True. Keep him away from the dishes.
just a one-sided deal all around, because Cease is going to be awesome. Jimenez will be awesome. And Quintana, well, you know, he'll be a fine broadcaster next to Burkhart at some point.
How about our guy Freddie Huebner, though, on the bat flips? How great is that?
I saw that. I was not surprised. I just put that over here with the dirty laundry here. I just put it over here to the corner. It's unbelievable. I loved Twitter from 1979. It's the best, isn't it? It's just
Freddie's in charge of that. What is it? 70s sports, whatever on Twitter.
Yes,
who's the guy?
Super 70 Sports.
Super 70 Sport. Oh, that's one of the best sites of all time.
He's anti-Fred though because he's like fun on everything.
No,
Fred hates everything. Fred, that is a good account. Like tweeting from 1979. That's a good. Did someone do that hoodie?
Well, Fred's doing it all the time. Just like no bat flips. No, not against your own team. But before that, it was no bat flips against anyone. No, like so he had issue like bat flips overall, and now definitely against his own team. I just laugh because people will get mad at it. I don't get mad. I just think it's funny because it's vintage Fred. I love it.
It is. What's coming up on the baseball show?
We are going to talk to amateur psychologist Don Cooper, at least talk about him.
Oh, yeah.
At 6 o'clock. Apparently, he knows all when it comes to issues of his pitchers, so we'll talk.